Well, awfully, this is Guy Bogart's in our past program, and I have a very interesting little guest for a few minutes here, Karen Spangler, right here in Long Beach. You've been in school today, Karen?
Mm-hmm. I have.
You like school in Long Beach?
Yes.
Did they ever talk about cats there in your school?
Yes, I do.
What school are you in?
Grad.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what kind of a cat were you talking about today?
Tommy.
Tommy? Who's Tommy?
My grandma's cat.
Oh, and is he, what kind of a colored cat is he?
He's black.
Black cat. You like white cats, too? Yellow cats?
Yes.
All cats?
Yes.
That's fine. What do you know about cats?
They're nice.
They're nice. Oh, I'll bet everybody that's listening to us out here in the air thinks they're nice, too. And what do you do with cats?
They fall in the mud sometimes.
Oh, then what do you do with them?
You have to clean them off.
Well, that's good. Well, you don't mind that.
Mm-mm.
This cat purr once in a while when you pet him?
Yes.
And how old are you, Karen?
Six.
6 years old. My, I remember when you were a little bit of a girl, about 6 months or less. It's pretty nice to be 6 years old, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you think you'll still like cats when you grow up?
Yes.
Well, that's fine. And how many cats are you going to have when you grow big?
Two.
Two cats. Are they going to be little boy cats or little girl cats? Or
girls.
Little girl cats. Well, that's good.
Girl and a boy.
Girl and a boy. Oh, well, that's better yet. And what are you going to name those cats? Because all cats got to have names, you know. And so you just tell us what you're going to name the cat. You have to think it takes lots of...
Milton.
Oh, that's a good cat. That isn't a Swedish cat, is it?
I don't know.
Who knows? Well, maybe it's going to be a good cat anyway, isn't it? And you think boys and girls should be nice and kind to cats?
Yes.
And when they grow up, they should be that way, too?
Yes.
That's good. And you're going to love your cat as much as Mama?
Yes.
That's fine. That's the way cats like to be liked. And we're awful glad to have you with us here, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again some of these days.
Okay.
Well, goodbye, Karen, and
bye.
We'll be looking at you again.
Okay.
Well, we're very glad to have had Karen with us on this afternoon. She's one of the finest little Long Beach girls that I know. And we're mighty glad to know that she's going to have two cats when she grows up, and a little boy and a little girl cat. That's what I thought when I grew up. I was going to have two cats, and now I got 22. That's all right. Well, we have a...
Any more geese?
Yeah, always. We have geese, too. Yes, and well, we like all kind of animals.
How many geese?
Oh, just two.
Oh, the same as I remember.
Mm-hmm, yes. Okay, well, now we're going to have to read something else now, and we're very glad to have you, Karen.
Okay.
You folks are well acquainted with the books and the writings and so on of Mrs. Vivian Robinette of South Pasadena, and she has given us a little paper on cats, which I'm very glad to present to you. She calls this her problem cats. To me, the cat is the most interesting of animals. I like its independent spirit, its refusal to lick the hand that mistreats it, its mystery, grace, and beauty. Like Will Rogers, who said, "I have never met a man who I didn't like. I can say it, I never met a cat I didn't like." However, the degree of liking in a few instances decreased to actual dislike. But in most cases, I soon became the willing slave of his or her majesty, the cat, simply going overboard in my affection for it. Cats are much like people. Each is highly individual with characteristics that attract or repel their human companions. Most are lovable, but occasionally one comes along that can only be described as a problem cat. Three of these creatures have lived in my home. After my marriage, cats became a very important part of my household. My home was mine, and felines could come and take over without fear or fuss. My mother had not shared my enthusiasm for the purring animals. Jay had not been married long enough to feel that he should try putting his foot down. He accepted cats without a murmur. However, much later, when the place inside and out was overrun with cats and kittens, he did venture an exasperated protest once. He said, "I hope someday I can live where there aren't any cats." He is now quite a lover of cats, and he will be horrified when he reads this and is forced to recall that remark. The first cats to occupy our home were two cuddly alley kittens, one coal black and the other gray and white. He was a talker, meow, 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 which got on one's nerves. He didn't like to bathe, probably thought, why bother? Dirt won't show on this black coat. As he grew older, he turned into what we called an alley ranger. He would disappear and be gone for several days, returning for a few days to stay when he got off again. Then he was off again. Always dirty and dusty and not at all lean, which proved that he had no trouble finding food. He was in an annoying habit of asking for food as though he were starving. He would leap about with loud, begging meows while the plate was being prepared. Then, when it was placed before him, he would give one disdainful sniff, march to the door, and demand to be let out. I was always glad to see him go, and, of course, he could not be trusted in the house. His brother was the exact opposite in every way. A little gentleman, well-behaved and fastidious, we adored him. After that, we decided to forget about pets. We had had enough heartbreak. 2 years passed. Then we made the mistake of visiting a cattery where they had some adorable kittens. As the babies were too young to leave their mothers, we left empty-handed and determined to stay that way. But the thought of those adorable bits of fur remained with us, and one day, a few days later, Jay and my father, who was visiting us, came in from the drive, and Dad said, "Well, we stopped at the cat farm." Dad, too, was a cat lover. When the men told me how cute the kittens were, that was too much for me. I had to visit the cat farm, which was fatal. We came away with two beautiful pedigreed silver smoke Persians. Had Jay known what he was getting into, in all probability, he and Dad would have driven in the opposite direction, as the possession of those kittens put an idea into my head. Why not turn my love for cats into a profitable thing? Well, I tried it, but it did not work out. The first kittens, offspring of this pair, were so cute and so smart that I would just keep them. And this was a tale all down the line when new kittens were born into the Robinette Cattery. I didn't want to give away any. When I did let one go, a piece of my heart went along with it. I abandoned the cat business for all time and kept most of the remaining cats until they died. When we brought the first two Persians home, we thought we had lovable felines. But as time went on, we realized that we had our second problem cat in the male, Nimbo. He resented the first kittens, of course, and right there, probably, is where we made a mistake as we scolded him and let him understand that we thought he was a very bad cat. A wild streak began to show up. He became quarrelsome, and often, if he did not get his way, he would attack whatever opposed him, whether person or animal. Jay came into the house one day with anger in his eyes. He and Nimbo had had an encounter in the yard. "That's a dangerous animal," Jay said. I agreed, but we didn't want to give him up. He was both valuable and beautiful, and in spite of his periods of meanness, which came as quickly and sometimes unexpectedly as lightning, we still thought quite a bit of him. But the day came when we had to give him up. An exhibition of temper proved that he was too vicious to have around. He came into the house one afternoon and went into a bedroom where he stretched out upon the bed. It had been raining, and he left a trail of mud tracks. I reached over to lift him down. I was pleasant about it and did not scold, but this time we were beginning to blame ourselves for part of his behavior. He was on me like a flash, his claws unsheathed and his teeth bared. By the time I managed to get away, I had 13 scratches, some rather deep, from my wrist to my elbow. He jumped from the bed, went to the living room, and stretched out on the rug, and began washing his fur as calmly as though he had never dreamed of being the jungle cat of the moment before. Two of Nimbo's daughters inherited his disposition. I scolded one of them one day, and she drew back a paw as if to strike me and let out an ominous growl. Having learned a little more about problem cats, I gave her much extra petting from then on and had no further trouble. I have seen much jealousy in cats and kittens, and they, like people, need to be loved and made to feel secure. But love did not work with the other daughter. She was definitely our third problem cat and a thoroughly unlovable animal. She was small, her father was a huge cat, and she was a dream cat as to looks, and we kept her until her death in spite of her mean disposition. She lunged at me several times, but never did any damage. The final payoff came when she killed two lovely kittens of hers because she was tired of nursing them and attending to the duties of motherhood. That finished the last remnants of liking I had ever had for her. Most of our Persians were indifferent mothers. A few, however, were excellent in the care of their babies, and it always interested me in watching our cats to see how much they behaved like human family in their relations with one another. Jealousies and disagreements were always cropping up, then growls and lifted paws. Sometimes a battle, and a few hours or days later, the combatants obligingly and lovingly giving each other a bath. We had one peculiar situation. Twins, Muffy and Fluffy, developed an intense dislike for each other while they were small kittens. During their lifetime, they had many fights. Once, when they were 5 or 6 years old, they buried the hatchet for almost a week and were inseparable, loving, licking, and purring away in contentment. Then, all at once, the feud was on again. They had a battle royal. How I wish I could understand cat language. I have no idea what brought about the interlude of peace or what caused the termination. Fluffy was the last cat we put away in the Rose Garden Cat Cemetery in our backyard. This time, definitely, we would have no more cats. Fate and Mr. Tips decreed otherwise. One autumn night, a few years ago, we came out of a moving picture theater, and there was a gorgeous gray and white, long-haired cat begging someone, just anyone would do, it seemed, to adopt him. He was homeless, that was obvious. We succumbed to his charms, and now he rules this place with an iron paw. He has a mind of his own, and it is well that we have learned much from our former problem cats, as he shows indications of being another. However, love and understanding have worked in his case. He responds nicely. Yes, cats are interesting, and there are a few problem cats. Most of them, I have found, merit all the love we give them. We thank you, Mrs. Robinette. I'm sure we all like to hear about one another's cats. Perhaps Mrs. Robinette shares a sentiment expressed by another Texas cat lover, Mrs. Ouida B. Blacknall of San Antonio, in her Road to St. Ives, in the introduction. She says, "My own interest in cats is not an acquired taste or hobby, but like curly hair or big hands, it is something one is born with," unquote. No use wasting too much time trying to explain to those who do not love cats, but we recognize one another. And it is, I am glad that Mrs. Robinette has learned the thing which Mr. Alan DeVoe, as we have been reading the last few weeks, that the one point, whether it's cats or children or any form of life, is love, and that love does count and is the only thing really worthwhile in handling these little folks or pets. I still like that idea that they are our guests. Although one cat lover said that hers were not guests, they were actual children in her home. Well, anyway, I'm glad that the folks all over the country are coming more and more to this idea that all of our little folks, little puppies and the big dogs, and our little cats are really parts of our lives, are really guests or even more than guests in the home. For no one ever has been created big enough or good enough to dominate any other expression of life, human or otherwise, until all relations or associations, human or so-called lesser forms, or of flowers and plants, are conducted in the spirit of love. And remember, love can be expressed only in service. There can be no real understanding or coordination. Well, we were awfully glad to have had our young friend with us today, too. And we hope that she can come again. And we're awfully glad to learn that Karen is a great lover of cats. And I know she's going to grow up and have that little boy cat, the little girl cat, and that she's going to love them. And I don't know just what, as she goes on in school, she's going to do. But we're awfully glad to have had somebody from right here in Long Beach to share the love. You know, Karen, Long Beach is quite a...
We got a Siamese cat in our block.
Oh, that's good. A good Siamese cat? Well, that's good. And you're going to have a Siamese cat, too, when you get big? That is fine. Karen is from the Grant School here in Long Beach, and we hope that all of her little friends and playmates in Grant are enjoying these few words she's had to say to us. A little bit shy, but you should see Karen in action when she gets with that neighbor Siamese cat. I've been there, and I know. Well, this is Guy Bogart signing off with love and joy.